From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
Everyone, welcome to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel, the Dr. Bernie, the only one in this universe who has changed the world and made a difference. And actually, that is part of our theme for the day. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at 1510 AM, WMEX Boston. And we are together with our radio active family, Lionel, Bernie, and I. And to listen to Bernie's show, you can hear it every first Sunday at 8 p.m. here at 1510 a.m. You can also hear it Wednesday through Friday on our own syndicated station, which is Dream Visions, the number 7, radio.com. You can listen online or on your mobile apparatus, I'll say. So, good day, everyone, and we're going to have a great show.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And what's on Bernie's mind is, who are the people outside your family who have helped to make a difference in your life? So, Bernie, why don't you start?
All right. The problem is, the more I was thinking about it, the younger I became, if you know what I mean, going back further and further in life.
Yes.
I was thinking about wonderful people, you know, like Carl Jung and Albert Schweitzer, Jesus, for that matter, you know, and it just all of these. But then as I kept thinking, I was going back and realizing in high school, I had skipped grades, and then my parents moved, so I was just supposed to be a senior in high school, but I was put into the wrong grade. And I went to the principal and I said, you know, I've done all this, because he was just looking at my age and, you know, how many years I've been in school. I said, I've done it. I'm supposed to be a senior. So he made me a senior, but he also told me where to go to college, because he knew I was socially not very mature. So I go to Colgate, upstate New York, and not co-ed at that time. And so I think he knew, well, he won't get into trouble up there. Then a zoology professor at Colgate told me where to go to medical school. And and that was Cornell in New York. But he said, you won't get grades. You're just told what quarter of the class you're in. So the lowest quarter knows and works harder and so forth. So I went there. But that was also what was fascinating. When I got there, I was assigned a room in the nurse's dormitory. And my roommate said, gee, I got a friend who's in the barracks down on York Street. Would you take his place and let him come and be with me? I said, sure. And my father said, what? You're going to move out of the nurse's dormitory? But anyway, I moved down, and my roommate was Fred Smith, who died not too long ago. And I sent a letter to his family, an email, because Fred was 16 years older than I was, starting a second career, medicine.
Wow.
And it was like rooming with your father. And again, as I say, I know I was immature socially. You know, like if I had gone to Harvard in the middle of Boston, I think I would have gotten lost at medical school there. But yes, this was in New York, but it was a quiet community there. And Fred was my roommate. And as I say, he became like my father. I would get up, and he'd say, where are you going? I'd say, I'm going out in the hallway. No, you're not. You're not going to go out there with all those other guys and get all, you know, entangled about tomorrow's exam or what. Sit down. And I would sit down and study some more. Now, it never occurred to me, why are you listening to him? But that was my personality. So if he said, sit down, or don't... He told me not to volunteer for one experiment, and I didn't, but the teacher picked me. You hyperventilated oxygen, and it's dangerous because it constricts your cerebral blood vessels. And I passed out in the middle of this experiment in the class, and you know, I could have been really in big trouble, but nothing terrible happened. But I thought to myself afterwards, boy, can you imagine the headlines? Medical student dies during experiment in class. But anyway, yeah. But he was always giving me advice to keep me out of trouble. And
it sounds like he gave you good advice.
Very good. Yeah, and I don't think any of those are coincidences. And then, again, as I started reading, and some of the names I mentioned earlier, like Carl Jung and others, is I was struggling. And I got into that, again, by attending a workshop by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And I'd say she was really a big factor in my life because I was in pain as a doctor. All the things you can't cure, you can't fix. So I went to her workshops, you know, on death and dying, because the room then was filled with people who were really dealing with trouble. You know, their lives were threatened, and we'd sit and talk to each other and listen to each other's stories. And one day at the workshop, Elizabeth said to me, Bernie, that's her Swiss accent, draw me a picture. So I drew her an outdoor scene from a meditation. You know, I mean, from my imagination. This is not something I was copying. And I drew that for her. And her first question to me was, Bernie, what are you covering up? I said, what are you talking about? She said, I give you a white piece of paper. You use a white crayon to make snow on the mountain. You added a layer. What are you covering up? And it was all my feelings. And then things like, why is 11 important? Oh, I've been doing this work with cancer patients for 11 months. And I thought, where the hell are these questions coming from? How did she know about my life from this crazy picture I drew? But that started me on a totally new path. And I began to get patients to draw and discover incredible things. And again, it's what made me upset with the medical profession. I have never met a doctor who's told that Carl Jung, probably 100 years ago, interpreted a dream and diagnosed a brain tumor. And I began to see anatomy in the pictures and things of that sort. See, that art therapists don't see, but physicians do see. So a psychiatrist would notice it, or a Jungian therapist would see the emotional aspects, but not the physical. And all those things just, you know, kind of blew my mind. You know, all the things I didn't learn that I was never taught. And so I began to, you know, pursue these things, and that's what led to my change. And one more workshop. Carl Simonton, physician, had written a book, Getting Well Again, trying to empower cancer patients, you know, with imagery. In those days, it was the Pac-Man eating up the cancer cells, you know, the Pac-Man being your white cells and things like that.
Right.
And I attended the workshop. And again, this is what upset me. It was in Connecticut. I was the only doctor from the entire state who went to this meeting. And I thought it was four doctors to train us to empower our patients. The room was filled with cancer patients, one psychotherapist, and me. But here, again, what did I learn from? My patients sat around me. It's not like you're in an office, you know, with a desk in between. And the one quote that changed my life was a young lady who said to me, you're a nice guy. I feel better when I'm in the office with you, but I can't take you home with me, so I need to know how to live between office visits. And when I heard her say that, I thought, okay, I don't have to be a failure anymore. You know, not curing every disease. I could help people live. And then this is what blew my mind. The workshop was over the weekend. I came back to my office on Monday. One of my partners, Richard Selzer, he's a very intuitive guy, written many books too. I walk in the office on Monday, he said, you're gone. I said, what the hell are you talking about? He said, you're not the same person you were Friday. You're going to give up surgery. Now, I thought he was nuts. But was he? No. You know? I don't know how many years later, maybe 10 or more, I retired from surgery to just go help people. Because I figured if I talked to people, I could help more people than spending a day in the operating room. But I never forget him saying to me, you're gone. He said, you're a different person.
Wow.
And that's why, you know, others can make such a difference in our life. And again, I hear stories from people, whether it's a school teacher, your neighbor, You know,
when you talk about Bernie, when you talk about the change, you're talking about from when you were more mainstream thinking in the medical world to more body, mind, and spirit, right?
Yeah. I mean, I began, again, to talk to people in a different way. See, it wasn't the sentence I always say that says it very well. Doctors are trained to treat the result, not the cause. See? Mm-hmm. So you come in, oh, you're depressed? Here's an antidepressant. Goodbye. Now, I've written to pharmaceutical companies about their ads and to New England Journal of Medicine. And I said, excuse me, I'm depressed. I go to my doctor, I get a pill. Don't you think you ought to say what's going on in your life? So we're busily treating the diagnosis, but not the person's experience. And that's what I began to learn when I would say to people, what are you going through? And they would share that, and I would help them with whatever words they came up with, like pressure, confusion, roadblock, draining. You know, let's look at the things in your life that fit those words. I always help them to heal. And I mean this literally. And you see, again, it's often the authors and the songwriters who, again, meant something to me. Solzhenitsyn, in his book Cancer Ward, uses a term you never hear from a doctor, self-induced healing. That's the men on the cancer ward. One of them reads a book and says, oh, look, it says here there are cases of self-induced healing, not recovery through treatment. And the symbol that flutters out of the book is a rainbow-colored butterfly. What's he telling everybody? Get your life in order through transformation, the butterfly and the rainbow. And again, doctors talk about spontaneous remissions. Well, if it's spontaneous, again, then I say to the patient, you're lucky. See, but if it's self-induced, I say, hey, what the hell have you done? And that's what I learned. I mean, I began to meet a lot of patients I thought were dead because they showed up at lectures. And I said, would say, why are you here? Why don't you come to what's the point of coming to the office? Everybody tells me, you know, all the negative stuff, so I don't go back. But they always had a story about how they transformed their life. So they became my important people in my life, too. They became my teachers. And again, the psychiatrists are more into this because they see this happening in patients. You know, I wrote articles in medical journals, and they were sent back as interesting but inappropriate for our journal. When I sent them to psychiatry journals, they came back again. Yeah, it's appropriate, but it isn't interesting. We know all this.
Yeah.
That's what's
one of the things I wanted to ask, Bernie, is you mentioned the number 11 with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Do you recall what the 11 meant?
Yeah, it was how many months he's been in practice.
Yeah, I had started running the support groups for 11 months before. And she said, I said to her, why are you asking me that? You put 11 trees in your drawing. And that, again, why she was so important to me, she let me know that we store our lives. See, again, the psychologists say things like that. Our childhood is stored up in our bodies. So I didn't have trouble asking people about what went on in their life, whereas you're not taught that in medical school to say what goes on. But again, psychiatrists have done studies where you draw pictures of yourself, you fill out personality profiles, and literally, I forgot her name, down at Johns Hopkins, she said, I could predict what disease these medical students were going to get later in their life based on the drawings and the personality profiles they filled out. You see, so a lot of psychiatrists were agreeing with me decades ago, while other doctors were saying, oh, you're crazy, you're blaming your patients, you're giving false hope. And it's because, again, they had no experience with it. But once they opened their minds and experienced it, then the criticism stopped.
Yeah.
And then people think you're nuts. Oh, they say, you haven't done any research. Okay, who will fund it? Nobody. And it's amazing what beliefs do. You talk about people who can be important. One of the Yale medical students said, I'll do a study for my thesis, my graduate thesis. It doesn't cost you anything. And he studied the people in our support group and showed that they had a better survival rate. The professor who was overseeing his paper said to him, these exact words, this can't be true. you have to alter the results so everything comes out even. Now, what kind of professor is that? Here's a student of his who does a study. He didn't say the study is screwed up, your math is wrong. He said it can't be true. You see, he wasn't criticizing his work. He was criticizing the result. And that's the hard part, you know, of life, in the sense of trying to change people's attitudes and minds. But what was interesting is when people, one psychiatrist set out to show I was wrong. He thought I was a little nuts. You know, what difference is a support group going to make in survival? So he set them up and did them. And guess what? He had a better survival rate, and many people still alive like 10 years later that weren't alive in the control group. And he didn't deny it. See, he didn't throw it away and say, oh, it can't be. He published it, and it changed him and his beliefs and how he treated people. And that, I say, is always the best thing, that when somebody who doesn't agree with you does a study and it does support you, then nobody can, you know, say, oh, you fudged that, you fixed it, you made it come out right, we can't believe you. But when your opponents have that happen, then it really is the best support of all.
Yeah. You know, Bernie, many times you've mentioned psychiatrists and doctors and psychologists, and, you know, strange... awareness overtook me not too long ago, and it was this fact that when somebody's in therapy with, let's say, a psychologist is not allowed to tell the therapist that they love them. It's against the law. They can't do that in therapy. And I checked that out with Dr. Henry Grayson, and you know, he said, well, that's true. You know, it's you can't, you know, because then again, they may not understand what you're saying to them when you say you love them. But here's the thing. A doctor can say they love them, and it's not against the law. And you are one of the few doctors who've practiced that. So there is the very special difference. So, you know, it's almost like you're allowed to do therapy from the standpoint of love, and a psychologist isn't.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because I think when people felt the love, you know, that you cared for them as a person, it made such a difference. But let me say this, when I started caring, I would say to people, I need to hug you. I mean, just think of being in an office and having to tell somebody they have cancer or some other serious or life-threatening illness. It's not a very nice feeling. And then I would say, I need to hug you. And we would hug. Mm-hmm. After many months went by, I realized what I was saying was, I need. And I realized, you're the one who needs it. You're having a problem with the diagnosis more than they are. So wow. I began to apologize to the patients who hugged me. I said, I want to say, I'm sorry that I asked you to hug me and help me when you're the one who needed the help. But they all said to me, that's okay. We understand. We knew you needed it. And I thought that was so interesting that they all could see the pain I was experiencing. So again, my patients became my therapists. They would help me. And I always say this to everybody, you know, when you talk about people in your life who are important, your coaches, your critics are the most important people. And I don't mean them because I think of people I know who say things like, my mother told me I embarrassed her, I was a failure, she dressed me in dark clothes. No, I'm not talking about people like that. I'm talking about the people who tell you how to do something better. You know, like the patient who would say to me, what's wrong? I said, what do you mean what's wrong? Your face. It's all wrinkled. Yeah, I'm thinking very seriously about how to help you. Think in the hallway and smile when you come in here. See? Another guy said, not giving you a bottle of liquor. Everybody who took care of me is getting a bottle of liquor, but not you. Why not me? Because you're always angry. I said, yeah, I don't like what happened to you. I don't like what I had to do to you. But you took it out on me. I said, I'm sorry. All right, here's a bottle of liquor. And, you know, but all these people were telling me what I didn't realize about myself. Yeah, I know I was angry. You know, why did God make a world like this? Why is this happening to nice people? And but what he said was so significant, but you took it out on me, because that anger was with me all the time. And I think, again, that when we're willing to listen to our coaches, and I always say that's the people you work with, the people you work for, and your friends and family. And if they tell you when you do something wrong, then they know you're a good soul and willing to listen and learn from it. Because if you don't listen, and I mean this, if you're never criticized by anybody, they've given up hope for you. Because your answer is always, no, that's not my fault, that's your fault, you don't understand. You know, if you're always making excuses, they know there's no point talking to him. He doesn't listen. But I realized, well, actually, I said to one of the nurses one day, am I the worst doctor in the hospital? She said, why? I said, because you just told me something that I could do better, that I wasn't doing well. And all the nurses are always telling me things I can do better. And so I feel like I'm the worst doctor. She said, no, we know you care, so we tell you, you listen. We stop talking to the doctors who make excuses and don't listen. And boy, did I feel good that I had said that to her. Because when everybody's telling you, you know, how to do it better, you begin to think, oh, what's wrong with me? But they were all teaching me.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up on a break, Bernie and Lionel, and we're going to be going out, and we'll be back with more of Dr. Bernie Siegel. I'd like to mention that you can go on his site, Bernie Siegel, SIEGELMD.com, and take advantage of reading all his articles and his books, and everything that you need is there, and you can actually connect with him, and he'll get back to you. Also, we'll talk about his books at a discount when we come back, and a little bit about Lionel and what he does. We'll be back in a moment.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and Faith, Hope, and Healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Are you ready to start living a miraculous life? Join famed spiritual teacher and best-selling author Marianne Williamson at Omega Institute, June 30th to July 2nd. Learn how your thinking can change your reality as Marianne Williamson shares simple yet profound lessons from A Course in Miracles. Mention discount code DREAM for 10% off when you register for the workshop Miraculous Mind, Miraculous Life with Marianne Williamson at Omega. Learn more at eomega.org.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bovee on the Love by Intuition show every first and third Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Every first and third Sunday from 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
The goal of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation is to cultivate a more peaceful world by creating awareness that we can choose love. By providing tools for our children and communities, we can enable them to develop a healthy level of optimism that leads to resilience. Our mission is to give people the understanding that they can choose love by living a life with gratitude, having the ability to forgive, and to be compassionate. This is a proactive effort towards mental health that'll provide children and adults with the perspective and wisdom they need to be able to navigate through life in a happy, fulfilled, and meaningful way. Our website is jessielewischooselove.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. You're listening to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel and his radioactive family, Lionel Ketchian and Deborah Beauvais. And if you'd like to, as I mentioned before the break, save 15% on Bernie's books and items, you can go on wisdomoftheages.biz. It is owned by Jane and Keith Siegel, Bernie's son and daughter-in-law. And when ordering, you place code 27 in the comment box during checkout, and you'll save that 15%. So remember, it's biz, B-I-Z, wisdomoftheages.biz. And then for Lionel, he is the founder of the Happiness Club, and it's happinessclub.com. And he's in Connecticut, but there are Happiness Clubs everywhere now, and there's a free newsletter that you can sign up for and receive all the goodness of positivity and uplifting information. So again, that's happinessclub.com. And then for us, you can go on dreamvision7radio.com and listen to all the glorious hosts we have. Bernie is Wednesday through Friday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. And then you can hear him here every first Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time at 1510 a.m. WMEX Boston. So before the break, Bernie, you were sharing all kinds of good...
Yeah, I was just going to share one more thing, then let the two of you share some things. I was thinking MD, what does that stand for? Medical deity. You know, so when you're the deity, the god, there is no criticism, you know, because you know everything and you're in charge of everything. But I think that's something I learned.
That's good.
Because I was open to it, yeah. So who in your lives redirected you? Did somebody show up and do something one day? Because I often think of people who tell me about their third grade teacher, their fourth, and it's like, I can't remember my third grade, but it's so obvious. As one, you know, it's always hard for me to stop telling stories, but this one woman in first grade, she was so criticized for drawing a purple tent in the picture, because that's what people are dead, it's, a, you know, not a picture. And the teacher yelled at her and said, I'm not putting your picture on the wall. She said in second grade, we were asked to draw pictures. I left my paper blank. Think about that. You're the teacher. You're walking around the room looking at everybody's drawing. What are you going to do to this kid who doesn't even draw the picture? Well, he put his hand on her shoulder. She said, Mr. Barta put his hand on my shoulder and said, the snowfall, how clean and white and beautiful. Now, she never forgot him and wrote a little booklet about that experience called Purple. And what a difference he made in her life. See, he didn't scream at her, what's wrong with you? You didn't do a drawing. I told you I want. Yeah, the snowfall, how clean and white and beautiful. Mm. And I think those are the people in our life.
Yeah.
We never forget. So have you guys met anybody?
Lionel?
Well, you know, I've thought about that, and I love role models. I'd like to say, maybe it's a negative statement, I don't think there's enough of them out there as far as positive role models, but I gave that a lot of thought ever since we came up with this as a topic. And, you know, Bernie, I got to say you, and I'll tell you why, because, you know, you talk about yourself a lot in terms of being different. you know, sort of an outlier. You know, there's the normal, and then there's other people. And I might almost go into that category myself, the other people part, because as a kid, and I'm just giving you this background and a reason you were significant in my life. As a kid, I was pretty young. We had a family friend who was a doctor. I don't remember what kind of doctor he was, but he ended up in a hospital, and you know, I was told he was dying. So I went to see him, and I went alone. You know, I went there, and he was laying down in his bed. His wife was feeding him in the bed, and he looked terrible, and he looked very weak, like, you know, he could just about breathe. And at a young age, I said to him, and this is where I was coming from, so Bernie, you'll understand why I pick you as a person of significance in my life. I said to him, you know, it may be possible that if you put some energy into living, you know, sort of change your mind, feel a little better, act a little bit more positive, you know, get up, walk around, that you might be fine. You might get through this. And he said to me, how dare you question me as a doctor? You're not a doctor. You don't understand what my illness is. And as he proceeded to describe his illness and how wrong I was about his disability, he practically was flying around the room. He had sat up in bed, animated, full throttle, more energy than anybody I've ever seen in my life, and he confirmed to me that I was right, even though he had the belief he's going to die. So coming from that kind of background and adding to that a number of other experiences that I had as a younger person, you came along in the newspapers, you know, in the Greenwich newspapers that were free, and they were the only newspaper with the guts to write about somebody going up against the medical system. And when I read about you, I couldn't believe that a doctor has, you know, thoughts, actions, and insights into some of the things that I only just felt might be true. I didn't know for a fact. You know, I thought maybe I'm delusional. Mm-hmm. And then you came along and confirmed everything, especially with your book. I mean, you helped me to understand. And in fact, I think it was even deeper than that. I know you've done a lot for people in the world, but for me, I think you gave me a lot of self-assurance that, you know, I'm not crazy. The things that I have to really value what I think about, because who the hell knows if I'm right or not? The world's not going to agree with me, but there are people who are legitimate out there convincing people scientifically that a lot of things that we held as unreasonable before could be mainstream thinking today. So you're the person who swayed me greatly in being more confident in my own thoughts. So for that, and also all the good you've done in the medical profession, and you know, a lot of stuff didn't apply to me, but I hold very high the work you've done for transforming everyone's lives as a result of the effort you put into it and the insight you had. So you're the chosen model for me, and you know, that first book, and by the way, the first book I wrote, Food for Thought, I had acknowledgments for friends, and you're the only one I had in there as an acknowledgment for that was, I guess, sort of an outsider. So I did acknowledge you as a, you know, as an outsider, to have a significant meaning in my life. So that was 1989, three years after you wrote Love, Medicine, and Miracles, and I wrote Food for Thought. So you've been there, and I know I've talked to so many people that tell me you've been there for them. So I'm on a good team. Let's put it that way.
Thank you. You know, I think that I always say that what we're all here for is to do something real in our lives. And for me, something real is making a difference in somebody else's life. And I know how uplifted I have felt when I realized I'm touching people all over the world. And what a gift that was. And that the other is something you brought up. Well, two things. One is, I love what Jung said. He said, being normal is only, in other words, trying to be normal is only desired by those who feel inadequate to begin with. So
right.
I don't ever try to be normal, if you know what I mean. I just try to be myself and to go about helping people and to not worry what other people think. And I live by my experience. I don't let beliefs control my life. And that could be scientific, religious, or anything else. I live by my experience. And so I don't say that's impossible. You know, it's like what you were sharing in the hospital room. You know, that, hey, it's possible. But too many people are worried about failing. You know, that if I try, if I join Bernie's group, if I read his book and I don't get better, then I screwed up, I did it wrong. He asked you to draw a picture. Yeah, one woman said, I'm not an artist. Another one brought in a drawing, said, my 10-year-old son did this for me. I mean, lady, what are you worrying about? You know, you're dealing with cancer, and you're worried about the grade you're going to get in a drawing? But that's the part that blew my mind. Because, yeah, there were a lot of people in my life who helped me, but I think the key factor besides that is growing up with love. That if your parents loved you, and I don't mean that they didn't criticize you or they didn't have to like everything, but you knew you were loved. That makes all the difference in your life in terms of health and survival and your life experience. I had to learn that, because if you grow up with love and not indifference and rejection and abuse, you don't realize other kids aren't growing up with it and why they're having all these troubles. And again, I had to learn that as a doctor. When people would tell me what their parents did to them or said to them, and what a horror. You know, and then you know why they're sick and what they're going through. Yeah.
That doctor that Lionel spoke of evidently really wanted his disease, because he was really adamant about having it.
Well, you know, if you think about it, if he got well, it would mean that he wasn't a good doctor because he didn't diagnose himself properly. So he probably died wanting to be right rather than wanting to live.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, there are a lot.
Isn't that something?
Doctors, I think a lot of doctors feel they keep their power if they tell you you'll die next Monday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of trying to get you to live till Wednesday. Yeah.
Right. Well, we need to take our next break, gentlemen, so we'll be back in a moment. Everyone, I hope you stay with us. We'll be back.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and Faith, Hope, and Healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
In a single moment, your life can change. Join Marianne Pastana, host of Moments with Marianne, for a transformative hour of leaders in their field, ranging from inspirational authors, top industry leaders, business and spiritual entrepreneurs. Tune in to experience Moments with Marianne every second Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Don't miss this. And remember, make every moment count.
Omega Institute presents John of God, one of the world's most revered spiritual healers and mediums. Experience the healing power of John of God and join his team of healers for guided meditation and prayer October 3rd, 4th, or 5th. To register for John of God, call 877-944-2002. That's 877-944-2002. Mention discount code DREAM to receive 10% off when you register for John of God. Learn more at eomega.org.
Join the Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Come explore with us natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. The power of a beautiful life is within you today. Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Don't you believe that we have what it takes to create a world whose priority is nurturing life and not the pursuit of profit? Wouldn't it stand to reason that unity, collaboration, and love would be the foundations for this new type of paradigm? Now Share Love on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network provides a unique service by personally researching solutions that align with our values and sharing them with you to inspire awakening, awareness, and involvement. Tune in every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern and check us out at nowsharelove.org.
And we are back again. You're listening to Mind Health Matters with the dear, we call him Dear Dr. Bernie. So,
interrupt what? For 1 minute, because I mean to point out, I think, how women, you know, it's more of an issue now, but women really hold the world together, and I wish you ran every country instead of all the guys. But what has been in your
life? Why do you say that, Bernie?
Experience that, well, because women are into feelings and relationships, and the guys are thinking and working, you know, and I just wondered what would come out of you now, you know, to share with us, to help all the men become more feminine and be in touch with other things.
Yeah, to add to what Bernie's saying, women are emotionally competent, much more so,
right,
because they know how to deal with their emotions. They let them out. They understand them.
Right, and we're nurturing. Everything is all just embedded in us. Yeah. Not everyone. There are some that...
Oh,
fall by the wayside.
Women. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that I've learned so much from so many people through all the years, and certainly honor everything that Lionel has said about Bernie, because you are a gem, Bernie, for sure. But I went back in life like you did, Bernie, and who comes up is an ordinary person, I was 15, and I started working at a hamburger place across the street from the high school at the time, and Gordon Pepper was the owner. And at that time, I needed to go to the dentist, and my father was really distraught emotionally because because my mom had left with three of our younger siblings. And so we were in a pretty mess. Well, Gordon offered to take me to the dentist, and I'll never forget that he actually drove me, and he helped pay for it as well. And the thing that overwhelmed me was his kindness and that he didn't want anything in return. So I always remember him. It'll pop in my mind and my heart, and I don't know if he's still on the earth. But I think of him, and then I think of Teresa Johnson, who this was right after my husband Rick crossed over, transitioned to the other side, and everyone, as we all know, that have experienced things personally like that, everyone's around for the first couple of weeks, and then off they go into their own lives, which is, you know, is a natural way of living. And Teresa took upon herself, she was part of, I was a Tupperware manager at the time, and she was one of the managers, and I didn't know her really deeply, but she took upon herself to call, you know, every 10 days or so for years. And I'll never forget that she took the time and shared her love at a time when I didn't even know if I was going to exist. So it's interesting how people, regular people, and sometimes they don't even realize it, how they have changed someone's life. So those are just two that pop up on my heart.
That's wonderful.
That's I just like the term, I did something real at last. You know, that when you've touched another life, to me, that's what's real. And a lot of ways of doing it. You know, on a personal level, writing a book, paying a bill. But, and I think often, I just think back to my father. His father died of tuberculosis, no life insurance, leaving six children and his wife. And I always remember my father saying to me, one of the best things that ever happened to me was my father dying when I was 12 years old. I said, what are you, nuts? You told me what hell you went through. He said, yeah, but it taught me what was important about life. And that's why I say, yeah, he was one of the most important people in my life because of what a sweet, gentle, caring man my father was. And I'm laughing because all my mother had to say to me was, I'm telling your father when he comes home, oh, no, don't tell him what I did. No, wow, please. Because I didn't want to upset him. And one story I got to tell you. I broke a neighbor's toy. It was this really interesting toy that I was jealous of him. And I broke it. And his parents came over and told my folks, your son broke this, you know, very nice, special little toy. And my folks said, okay. And they went home. The next day, my father came home from work with that toy. And he handed it to me in the front yard because I was sitting outside. And then he walked in the house. And I thought my head was going to explode because I knew if I had kept it, because he said to me, I know you wanted one of these, and he handed it to me. Now, I knew I could have kept it, and he wouldn't have said a damn thing. He would have been disappointed in me, but I thought, if I keep it, my head will explode, so I got to take it. And I took it over to the neighbor and gave it to him. But I always felt that was quite a father who didn't punish, didn't yell at me, didn't spank me, but with techniques like that, you know, giving you the toy and walking away made such a difference.
You know, it's interesting that both of you are talking about experiences from kindness. You know, and I think kindness is so very important. And Bernie, as you were describing, you know, doing something from the heart for others, to me, I relate that to making a positive difference, not just making a difference, but a positive difference. That's the way I can get my mind around. And for me, that's probably the most important thing I can ever do in life, is doing something for someone else. In fact, as you guys are both speaking, I want to share something with you. It looks like I'm going to come out with a book, hopefully soon, but the title, and I'll tell you the title, but then I'll tell you what I'm going to do with this book, which really fits in with what we're talking about, because there's a lot of books out there. But anyway, so the name of this book is I Love You and I Want You to Be Happy, What Do You Want? ? So it is important as to what you want, because not everyone wants to be happy for whatever reason. But the point is, after being happy for 27 years, I want to show people how it's possible to be happy, at least for 10 minutes, if not 27 years, or at least for now. And I think what I'm going to do is have the book out. You know, I'll publish it, but I'll have it out for free on the Internet. So I think what I want to do is give the book away. Because, you know, we have so many happiness clubs. They could use it to form clubs and get involved with one another, to ask questions and to learn more about being happy. But as you're both speaking, and certainly as we're all getting older, well, I'll speak for myself anyway, you know, for whatever time we have left, making a positive difference for others becomes probably one of the most important things in life, at least for me.
I've got to interrupt you because of what you just said. Sitting on my desk are messages to me. This is from Leo Rosten, and you just used the word difference, make a difference. I cannot believe that the purpose of life is to be happy. I think the purpose of life is to be useful, to be responsible, to be compassionate. It is above all to matter, to count, to stand for something, to have made some difference that you lived at all. So you got to change the name of your group now. Okay.
Well, I think that's how you become happy. I think he just described how to do it, do things for others. Bernie,
yeah,
do you
when
mind,
you make a difference, then you are happy. As a
result, would you mind emailing that? Could you
I can
that
type it out.
Yeah,
it's on a piece of paper lying on
okay,
in front of me.
Yeah, you know, I think that's what we're all talking about. I mean, the three of us get turned on by kindness, by compassion, by things of the heart, and doing things for others. So, and we've, you know, have a certain amount of wisdom that we've acquired over the years through our experiences, not our beliefs. And this is what is important to share with the human race, because we all, each of us, have a gift in what we share with others.
Yeah, you know, you remind me of my father again, because he used to lend people money, because his comment was that basically material things, money, was to make life easier for everybody because of what he went through as a kid. And
right.
So he used to lend lots of people money. And my mother would say, they don't pay you back. I mean, and he said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, she was a little more concerned with finances,
sure.
You know,
sure.
And not just giving away a lot of money. But to him, it didn't matter if they ever paid him back or not. And I know part of that rubbed off on me. When I've helped other people and, you know, I find old papers in the house that I've forgotten that I lent them money and things like that years ago. Because if I can help them, fine. Yeah. I'm the lucky one that I can help them rather than them to help me. Yeah.
Well, we're coming up on the end of the show, and I'd like to say for both of you and for anyone out there that by making a difference in someone's life or doing a kind act, you never know how it changes that person's life for the better. And then that person goes on and repeats the cycle of kindness to the next person.
Let me share a story. I don't mean to interrupt, but to squeeze it in. After I gave a lecture saying it's okay to ask for help, that people can say no to you, I got a phone call at home from a nursing student. I want to go to nursing school. Will you pay my tuition? You said it's okay to ask. And I said, hey, if you had the guts to call me and ask, I'm going to say yes. And I paid her tuition, nursing school. A few years go by, I get a phone call again from her. Dr. Siegel, I'm graduating. I got a job. I can pay you back now, or we can start a scholarship for other students. And you know damn well what I voted for. I said, go ahead and start the scholarship with the money. And that's the gift, as you just said. It goes on. It doesn't stop with what you do, but it's what the next person does and how the ripple goes out all over the world.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And if everyone did that and channeled their energy towards helping people instead of harming, we'd have a beautiful world.
Yes, we would.
And then there are a lot of stories how God then shows up and gives you a little help, too, out there helping us.
Yes. Well, we need to go, everyone. So with that said, Bernie will look forward to the next show with more stories and wisdom from both you and Lionel. So, everyone, till the next time, bye for now from Bernie, Lionel, and Deborah.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.